Yes, it's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Welcome everybody to the Coffee Break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. And we just want to wish you such a wonderful, wonderful welcome to all of you tonight. And you know what? If somehow, by any chance, you cannot hear any of us, please let us know. My headset decided that it would only play one side, so I can hear myself in one of my ears, Yusuf, but I can't hear myself in the other side, which is absolutely crazy. But you know what? I think it's just this weather. My headset was just like, it's way too cold to come out tonight, so I'm just going to stay put. So you know what? Welcome. We're going to have a great time tonight. It's going to be really wonderful. We really are so excited about tonight and really so excited to be sharing what Abba Father has laid on our hearts, specifically for today and specifically for right now, and which is quite amazing because obviously this is something that's just very deeply spiritual, and we're very, very excited to be sharing tonight. And so Yusuf, welcome to you. I hope that you're doing good. And yeah, welcome to the Coffee Break. I know that you are also really looking forward to tonight's discussion.
Amen. I think every week we say that we're looking forward to the discussion, but the truth is Yahweh's word is so alive, and it's just awesome when we dig into it, and it just brings life. So this evening I am excited, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to be talking about. It's been a very cold time the last couple of days here in Cape Town, and rainy, but it's a blessing to have the rain, and it's been a blessing as well just to actually be in winter. I like winter. Mm. It's nice. So this evening, I pray that wherever you are around the globe, whatever is your current location, I pray that the Father will be with you. I pray that as we reach out to you this evening through the waves of this coffee break, that Yahweh will richly minister to your heart. And I also want to say this evening, come and let us celebrate the goodness of the Father. Let us come and celebrate the goodness of Yeshua. And tonight, and the coffee break is all about Yeshua. We're going to be discussing a topic this evening that I think for many people is a very interesting topic. For some people too, it's a topic that they don't have a lot of information about. And there's some people have a lot of confusion about what we're going to be speaking about this evening. So we hope that by the end of this coffee break that you won't just walk away with information, but that you'll actually walk away with a deeper understanding of the love of Yeshua and his sacrifice for you, and what he has done, and how that plays out in our lives as believers. And you know, Aaliyah, I want to say this. You know, a lot of us come out of the church. A lot of us have been in the church. I was a pastor for many years in the church. And you know, the one thing that the church has nailed continuously is, you know, the salvation message, the death and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua, that he died, that he rose again, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That is one thing that they have proclaimed for generations. But unfortunately, there is a lot more to the picture than just that part of the message. And tonight, I believe that we're going to be touching on a subject that fills in a little bit of the blanks within that whole message of Yeshua's death and resurrection, and what is actually going on. So this evening, brothers and sisters, you may be listening and you're saying, well, what is it? What is it that we're going to be speaking about? And we're going to be speaking about the Torah portion this week was speaking about the red heifer sacrifice. And we want to discuss this evening and talk to you about the red heifer sacrifice and bring it home to Yeshua's life, and help you to understand how important, but also how people through generations, Aaliyah, have seen this sacrifice as a mystery. You know, the rabbis speak about the sacrifice and they don't understand it. We know why, but not only that, today many in the faith don't fully understand the red heifer sacrifice and what it's all about. Mm. So this evening we're going to be touching on that, and we're going to be looking at what it's about and speaking about, you know, the different various aspects of this specific sacrifice, but mainly, what has it got to do with me? How does it fit in with my life? You know, it's one thing, Aaliyah, we talk about, you know, the sacrifice of Yeshua, or we talk about, you know, the trespass offering or the various offerings, and it's kind of, you know, we touch on the surfaces of things, and people go and say, like, okay, I get it, but, and you know, like the Torah commandments say X, Y, and Z, and I suppose I apply that to my life like this. But when we look at the red heifer sacrifice, sacrifice, it has been fulfilled. So because it's been so detailed and so fulfilled, graphically fulfilled, we can now look at those things and say, okay, what does it mean to me? And we can literally take it and begin to apply those aspects to our lives, and we can begin to see the wonderful love of Yeshua and what it means for us.
I'm so excited this evening. I'm really excited about this. You know, it's so true what you say, Yosef. You know, unless you really, you know, be exposed to the red heifer sacrifice, you don't really know much about it. And of course, you know, for myself, I mean, I was in studying the Torah for like maybe at that stage 15 years already, and I never really came across the fact that you know, we would talk about the red heifer sacrifice, and even in Torah groups you go to, it's just like, okay, red heifer sacrifice, Yeshua was that, okay, we're moving on. But about 2 years ago, I was really just, it was during Passover and the time of prayer, the Father began to speak to me and say, you know, this red heifer sacrifice is so important. And we're going to touch on some of those aspects. And it just became so real. And the red heifer sacrifice, just so about Yeshua, so also what he did on the stake, but in such a deep and profound way, which we're going to get into this evening. And of course, we've heard so much about the lamb that was slain, which Yeshua is and was the lamb that was slain. And of course, to take away our sins, you know, and to totally take away that sinfulness and sinful state that we were born into, forgiveness for all the sins that we had ever committed. But then what about the cleansing that has to come? What about our conscience? You know, what about everything that Paul speaks about? You know, we have to renew our minds. You know, there is actually a sacrifice for that. And it wasn't just the sin offering, because the sin offering was that sacrifice. And this is part of what we need, you know what, to get into with the red heifer sacrifice. And we are completely referring to, it's spoken about in Numbers. We're going to get into some scripture tonight. You know, we're going to really detail this for you, so you're going to understand exactly everything that we're talking about, because we know that some people do know a little bit about it and some people, we don't know anything about it. And it's so important, I think, that once we uncover and unlock the red heifer sacrifice, Yosef, I think there's a huge shift in how we understand what Messiah Yeshua did for us. You know, again, like you said, you know, even in Christianity and stuff, we focus so much on just, you know, the sin offering. There is so, so much more. And I'm really excited that we're getting into it tonight.
Amen. So this evening, I just want to pray, and then let us get into the word and let's see what it says. And to our sister, yes, it's, I suppose maybe our way of pronouncing it is a little bit different to how you would maybe pronounce it in the state. But we're talking about the red bull sacrifice, would be the best way to put it, you know, in that way. The red bull sacrifice, and where Yeshua, where Yahweh was telling Moses that only a red bull, a specific red bull, is important for this type of sacrifice. And we know that those red bulls were very scarce too. It's a very scarce animal. So this evening we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be looking at how that correlates and how the types and foreshadows point to the work of Messiah Yeshua. But not only that, you know, we, Aaliyah, before I pray, you know, we, that's the problem that I think we have as believers. It's always kind of like, okay, so this is what it is. How did Yeshua fulfill it? And then we stop there, and then instead of going a little bit further and say, okay, so Yeshua fulfilled it, but now what does that mean for me? Where does this play out with me? You know, and tonight I want to say to you that the red heifer sacrifice is not a salvation issue. It's not a salvation sacrifice. It's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. So let us pray, and then let's start. Father, we want to thank you this evening in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, we want to thank you tonight that we can come together on this coffee break, Father, that we can celebrate the work of Messiah Yeshua, that we can celebrate, Father, what you have instituted from the beginning of time. And Father, your word says, Father, that you, Yeshua, that you were the one who was slain for the sins of the world. And Father, I want to pray this evening that as we come together and as we speak about this topic, Father, that people will have understanding. Father, it's not something that we can dig in this evening in maybe this hour in its entirety, Father, but we can really, by the power of your Spirit, we can have a look at it, Father, and by your Spirit, we can share that. So I thank you this evening, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, brothers and sisters, so like I said to Aaliyah, the interesting thing about the sacrifice is that it is considered to be a mystery. It's considered that not everything was known. They didn't understand it. It's almost as if the rabbis believe that Yahweh gave unto Moses the details of this specific sacrifice, and that it was such a mystery, such a deep understanding of what was given, that it was so hard for even Moses to fully grasp what was going on. And you know, that's important for us to understand, because on this specific day that Messiah Yeshua dies, you know, so much is going on, Eliyah. We know that he fulfilled not only the sacrifice, but he also fulfills the role of the high priest. Mm-hmm. He becomes the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So, you know, we've spoken about that. And what we need to understand is that to the very hour that the priest would be sacrificing a lamb in the morning and then again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Yeshua is being led to the stake at that specific moment, and he's being crucified and hung on that stake at the specific moment that the priest would be slaughtering those two lambs that would be going on the day of Passover. That was a normal occurrence, but on Passover they were doing extra lamb. It was important that we understand this. And Yeshua fulfills that. And that's why the scriptures tell us, it says that, you know, no priest was allowed to sit down until the service was over, until his duty was fulfilled. That's why it says that Yeshua then sat down at the right hand of the Father only after his death, because he fulfilled exactly what the priest was doing. He was busy fulfilling on the stake. Yeshua fulfills everything to the T, right down to everything. So it's important for us to understand that he fulfills the sacrifice as well as he fulfills the role of the high priest. But what we don't always correlate to this is the red heifer sacrifice and how this relates to Yeshua's death, and how it relates to our redemption, and how it relates to our holiness. And that's what I want to say this evening. The red heifer sacrifice is not about salvation. It's not about our forgiveness of sins. It is about the cleansing of defilement that we have within us, our flesh. In other words, when we sinned, and when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he sinned and his flesh became corrupt, and therefore he was then subject to decay. He was subject to sin and death. In other words, when he sinned, there was a consequence, and it was death. Death was now going to befall him in his mortal body. And that's why Yeshua had to die, because only Yeshua's flesh, and now this is something that many people struggle with to understand. You know, we as believers, we kind of put our hands up and we say, yes, but I understand it. But the truth is, do we really fully understand the fact that it was Yeshua's death and his flesh that gives us entrance into life? In other words, because he died and he shed his blood, he said to his disciples, it is my blood that you need to drink and my body that you need to eat. And they looked at him and they said, this is a hard thing to understand. Mm. And many of the disciples at that time, they disappeared. They said, you know what, I don't want anything to have with this person, because at that time, that was kind of considered paganism. You know, even today, you're not going to eat someone's flesh. It's cannibalism. You're not going to drink someone's blood. People are going to think, you know, you're into something really weird. But what Yeshua was trying to say to them is that only when you consume me, I am the bread of life. When you partake of my body, in other words, my incorruptible flesh, the flesh that was given to me by my Father, that's what's important to understand. Then you too one day will have eternal life. And that's important for us to understand. So the red heifer sacrifice was there, and I'm going to read it to you now, not only for the cleansing of the sins of the people, but it was there to take away the, and that's what Hebrews tells us, the conscience, the mindset that we so live with after we've been saved. And then what happens? We're saved and we go down this salvation road and we land up tripping and falling. And then we sin. And then we have this great high priest that is standing there for us and he's making intercession for us. And when we confess our sins, no longer do we have to have this guilt in us anymore. Whereas the Israelites, when they sinned, they still had a guilt inside their minds, the Bible tells us, and then they had to go and make another sacrifice. And they could never really fully get rid of the consciousness in their mind or the guilt that they had. It's only when Yeshua came and he fulfilled the sacrifice that Hebrews tells us now, by his blood and by his sacrifice, he removes the guilt and our bad conscience that we have. So this sacrifice, the red heifer sacrifice, has got everything to do with our walk of holiness. It has everything to do with after you've been saved and you've accepted that Abrahamic sacrifice that has been given to you because of Yeshua's death. Now we need to understand that the animal and everything that was part of the animal was consumed. And you know, Eliyah, this is important, because this is the only sacrifice where the blood of the animal remained in the animal. They never drained it out. All the other sacrifices, they would drain the blood of the animal and it would be taken out, and it was important that they did that. But with the red heifer, the blood remained. So the animal was consumed and it was burnt exactly like that. And that's important for us to understand. And the ashes were kept, remember, for the sprinkling and for the cleansing of the temple artifacts and for people. And that's important. So tonight I want to submit to you that this sacrifice has to do with your walk of holiness after salvation. It has to do with how we walk with Yeshua after salvation. And I want to read to you where it's found. It's found in Numbers. It's found, actually, you can read this in Numbers chapter 19, 1 to 22. And I'm not going to read it all this evening. I want to actually read from Hebrews chapter 9, where it talks about the fulfillment, where Messiah Yeshua is the fulfillment of the sacrifice. So it says this in Hebrews chapter 9 and 11. But when Messiah appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place. And I just want to say this tonight. This doesn't mean that there is a thing called once saved, always saved, because Yeshua entered once for all. That's not what it means. What it means is that Yeshua was the sacrifice for generations past and generations to come. In other words, he is the one atoning sacrifice for every person that was there before and every person that is still to come. In other words, your children's 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 children who believe in Messiah Yeshua, he is the one sacrifice that can atone for those sins. It's not a matter of, oh, once saved, always saved, I can do what I want, and he's the one thing that will just, you know. No, that's not what it means. It means for every single generation to come, Messiah Yeshua is that atonement. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's important that we understand that. So it goes on and it tells us here that he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, this securing an eternal redemption. That eternal redemption is for you and I. And then he talks here in Hebrews, it states this. It says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer. Now there is the correlation to the heifer sacrifice, right? Sanctify for the purification of the flesh. Do you see that? Now that's so important because it's not the purification of our sins, it's the purification of our flesh. And it's important that we understand that. It goes on and it says, how much more will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to Yahweh, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. And then it goes on and it talks about all, you know, the different things.
You know what? This is so interesting to me, Yosef. Sorry. You know what? I know this is very long scriptures, and I know that we encourage everybody whenever we talk about, you know, scriptures in the Bible on the coffee break, we always encourage you to go and read it on your own, because like we always say, it's not like a full teaching where we're giving you everything. But this is exactly that part there in verse 14. It says, how much more will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, how much more will that blood of Messiah purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And Paul, if we think it's Paul or Priscilla is writing here, and she is saying, we had this discussion on the coffee break the other day here in Hebrews, that, you know what, that is what it is, relating the ashes of the heifer. The ashes of the heifer sanctify our conscience. They sanctify everything. You know what? I relate this back to, I'm a very practical person. I relate this very much back to sometimes you're just sitting, you know, and you're sitting and maybe you're working or you're doing something, and suddenly something, a memory will maybe pop up into your mind. Some people will say it's just your mind. Some people will say it's the enemy, whoever it may be or whatever it may be. And you remember something that you saw maybe long ago, or something you did long ago, or something, and that it was horrible and it was sinful, you know, and it just pops up back in your mind. And there is this purification of your conscience that can happen, you know. Also, like you spoke about that guilt, the guilt that is, it's taken away by Yeshua being the red heifer sacrifice, that conscience, that mindset that needs to be purified. It's purified by the fact that Yeshua became the red heifer sacrifice, not the lamb that was slain, but the heifer, that full heifer that you just spoke about, that was burned with the blood in, you know, with everything on it, every single thing, it was offered, you know, just like Messiah Yeshua. And it became, you know, Yeshua being the red heifer became what purifies us from the inside out. So when we have those thoughts or we have guilt or we still need our mindsets changed because maybe things haven't been going so good and we've allowed fleshy thoughts to come in, or we've been exposed to things we didn't want to be, or things just happen. We are human beings living in this earth. Things happen. It is actually the sacrifice of the red heifer that we appropriate to that and say that we accept Yeshua in this way, in what he did for us here. And it's exactly like you were talking about the Abrahamic covenant. Mm. And if you have not listened to the covenant teachings, please go and listen to those covenant teachings, because, you know, the Abrahamic covenant is the foundation of everything. And it is what we need to be, you know, we need to settle the Abrahamic covenant. At this stage, hopefully we've settled it. Mm. You know, the Abrahamic covenant is really, really indicated by Yeshua being the lamb that was slain and was built upon the promises. You know, the promises of the Abrahamic covenant are very foundational, you know, and very simple almost. You know, that we are now descendants of Abraham and we become part of the family of Yahweh. We have those promises, you know, and we are part of Israel. We become part of the family. And it's those things. And yes, we need to, you know, be done with the fact that we're saved. Yes, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And yes, we have all those things in place. And now we're moving on deeper, you know, and that's when we get to the next covenant. And that's what I believe the red heifer is speaking to us about, this progression to the next covenant. That is why it is so deep. And Yosef, I will go so far as to say why the red heifer sacrifice has been hidden from people who are, I don't want to say, you know, churched people, but I want to say this is a deeper understanding to lead us to a deeper covenant. And people that can't go into that covenant because they don't want to be obedient to the commandments of Yahweh and the things that we need to do, they can't appropriate fully the sacrifice that Yeshua became for us, because it is that progression into, you know what, when we're living a holy lifestyle, when we're doing the holy things of Yahweh, we need to be living in that way in order to be sanctified, in order to one day be glorified and start to put off that flesh. And that's also what the sacrifice is speaking to. It's about that, you know, the decay of the flesh that we put off. We are putting off the flesh and we're living by the Spirit. And this, the red heifer sacrifice, that actually speaks to that, because it's about that putting off of the defilement. You know, like Paul says, who will save me from this body of death? It's Yeshua that saves us from this body of death. Within this flesh is that sin and that tripping up and that guilt. And you know what, people, you know what, the thing about it is that those who have really good hearts and really do want to do the right thing and want to be okay by Yahweh and don't want to do wrong things, like those kind of people, those kind of hearts sit with a lot of guilt sometimes when they sin. You know, so for some people, they're like, okay, I messed up and it's cool, I ask for forgiveness and just moving on. But other people struggle with a guilt conscience. And that's what Red Heifer Sacrifice speaks to. It's that, you know, Yeshua became that, fully that. You know, he offered up everything of himself, you know, willingly. And he became this beautiful sacrifice that not only is about taking away our sins or healing our wounds or delivering our souls, but it's, I want to purify you from the inside out so that we don't have to live. Yosef, I think that's beautiful. We don't have to live in the guilt, or we don't have to live bound by our flesh or bound by our minds, bound by the things that are hard for us, because you know how it is, you're wanting to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, but you always have that struggle with your flesh. You're always having that burden, and this sacrifice speaks to that, that Yeshua became that so that we can begin to, you know, rid ourselves of this and move towards, obviously, glorification will only take place once we are dead, but hopefully we are walking this road of sanctification. And it's like, you know, as we walk this sanctified road, we are getting to that place where we will more and more just put off this flesh, and one day we will be glorified with him. And I think that the more we become sanctified in this earth, the more that we will behold him even in our flesh, so that one day when we do put off this body of death and we are fully glorified, that we will already recognize him. Amen. Because we will have begun to see him on this earth, because we are becoming holy as he is holy.
Amen. You know, before we go to a song, I just want to share with you what Yeshua actually fulfilled in this sacrifice. You know, the animal had to be without defect. We know that even with the lamb, it had to be without defect. So we know that Yeshua was without sin or defect. defect. That's important. It had to be a bull that was red. It had to be without defect. It had to be a certain age. It was important. Also, it says that the Bible says that he was the unique and that he was the only begotten son of Yahweh. This animal was a unique animal. Mm-hmm. It was one of a kind animal. And it's important that we understand that. I haven't included the scripture verses, but I have a teaching called Messiah Yeshua, the Great High Priest. And in there, I give all the scriptures of these things and where it shows you in the scriptures how he fulfilled every single one of them. Now, this animal had to be burned outside of the camp. It was very, very important that the heifer was burned outside of the camp. And what's important is the one who did this, the priest who actually sacrificed this animal, became contaminated, but the people became holy. Now, that's so important. So in other words, he would go and he would sacrifice this animal and he would burn the animal and he would do what he needed to do, and he became contaminated, but the people, and through the ashes that was you know, picked up, they became pure. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened with Yeshua. He was sacrificed outside of the camp. He was sacrificed away from his own people, and he became contaminated. He took on the sins of the world, the Bible says, and thereby, at that specific time, he became contaminated. He took on the sins of the world for a time, the Bible says. And then it tells us that his blood, in other words, the blood of Yeshua, as well as the blood of the animal, like we have said, was consumed. The animal's blood remained inside the animal. It wasn't drawn out, and the animal was consumed. And the Bible tells us that we know that his own blood formed part of the sacrifice. Yeshua was covered in his own blood, just like the high priest that was going to be, you know, ordained. The priest had to have blood on his earlobe and on his thumb and on his toe. Yeshua was covered in blood at that time. And also, we know that the sprinkling of the blood of the animal was then used to sprinkle the utensils and to sprinkle the one that was defiled. And the Bible says that his blood was sprinkled upon us to make us clean. The scriptures tell us the actual word sprinkled. That's what it says. And then the waters, remember, they would drink those ashes. They would mix it in water and they would drink it for purification. And the Bible says that Yeshua became the living water of purification. Man, isn't this just awesome? It's amazing, amazing symbolism.
I love it. You know what? That water of purification, that's a deep one. That's another coffee break all on its own.
Yeah.
This is so beautiful. You know, what Abba Father's really, really done for us in sending Yeshua wasn't just one thing that he fulfilled. It was so many things that he did and so many things that he fulfilled. But we're going to go to our first song for the coffee break tonight. I hope that you enjoy it. It's by Great Heights called Light of the World. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to keep going about this red heifer sacrifice. What a blessing.
Rolls back the heavens, who tells the stars to shine, who comes like the morning and pulls the darkness from our eyes, who's brighter than the sun, who's brighter than the sun. Light of the world, shine. Greater than my pain, whose hands can move the mountains and then wipe our tears away. How wonderful you are, how beautiful. darkness, and you raise the dead to life. You have made your home inside us. We will radiate your
that song, Yosef. I really, really like that song. Anyway, welcome back to the coffee break with myself. I am not Yosef. I am Aaliyah, and Yosef is sitting next to me. You know what? I am so excited about this Red Hair for Sacrifice because it really, really makes me like almost feel, Yosef, that I'm falling more in love with Yeshua, falling more in love with the fact that he did so much more for us, and I think that we've been taught, or that we've understood, or that we've read, and I think that that is what's beautiful about the God that we serve. You know, the revelation of what he has done for us, the revelation of his love, of his grace, of his desires for us. I think that it will continue until the day that we die and our children die and their children die. The revelation is kind of new, and the depth and the wisdom and the understanding is just amazing because it just continues and it's so, so beautiful. So I love what we're sharing about tonight. But I know that we also need to get deeply in, you know, a little bit deeper in to the flesh about this red heifer and really about, you know what, exactly the depth of what was happening. So I want you to share that with us. Why are you smiling like this?
You know what's interesting, Aaliyah, is that the rabbis believe that, you know, when the 10th heifer appears, they, you know, they at this time are cultivating, if I have to use that word, they kind of have, you know, new red heifers for the final temple and for what they want to bring about. And they believe that when the sighting, or, you know, when the 10th heifer appears and that last sacrifice takes place, they believe that this all signifies the return of Messiah Yeshua. So they haven't, as we know, they haven't accepted the fact that Yeshua is that 10th heifer sacrifice. And we know that Yeshua himself became the 10th heifer sacrifice because they believe that the heifer will prelude the building of the temple. So that's why it was a big thing when this heifer appeared again, and now they, you know, they proclaim that, you know, this is now the beginning of the end. But what they don't understand is that Yeshua himself became that temple. He said in John chapter 2 and verse 19, and he says, Yeshua answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Because he is the living tabernacle. He is that prophetic proclamation. So he becomes that 10th heifer in more ways than one. And like we said this evening, it is such a mystery, because the 10th heifer fulfills one animal is a picture of so many different things that is being fulfilled through the work of Messiah Yeshua. And that's so important. Now, what I want to draw your attention to this evening is, you know, we're talking about the red heifer, and I said to you when we began this evening, what has it got to do with us? You know, we know that Yeshua fulfilled these things. We know that he did it right down to the last minuscule detail of that sacrifice. He did it. But what has this got to do with us? And why is it so important? And why did the writer of the book of Hebrews bring this to their attention? You know, we know that it comes from Numbers and it was a commandment given to Israel that this is what they need to do. But the book of Hebrews is talking all about the priesthood of Messiah Yeshua. And it's talking about the fact that we, as the people of Messiah Yeshua, that we have been called to be a royal priesthood, that we need to be people who follow in the footsteps of our Messiah, that we're not going to be people that are tossed around by every wind of doctrine, but that we are going to be people who are saved, people who are saved by our faith in Messiah Yeshua. Then we are going to be people that are keeping the commandments of Yahweh because it is his instructions, his guidelines to holy living. And then by doing those things, we grow up and we mature and we become more and more conformed to the image of Messiah Yeshua. That's what it's all about. So why is it so important then that the writer of Hebrews brings to our attention this? You see, the problem with the Hebrews or the Jewish people at that time that the writer was writing to was that they had a lack of faith. They had the lack of faith in the fact that they were kind of sluggish in their walk with Yeshua. They were kind of regressing and saying, oh, well, you know what? Maybe we need to go back to the old way. Maybe we need to go back to the Levitical priesthood. Maybe we need to go back to those sacrifices and those ways because we can then see what we're doing. And they had a problem with maturing. The problem was that they weren't maturing in the way that Messiah Yeshua wanted. So the writer is actually spurring them on and telling them, no, you have a greater high priest. There is a greater way now. The blood of those goats and the blood of those animals is only temporary, but the blood of Messiah Yeshua has now taken away your conscience and it enables you to be a pure vessel and honor Messiah Yeshua. And that's what it's about. Yeah, I'm going to read it to you. The writer of the book of Hebrews is actually addressing, they're addressing an issue of spiritual maturity. Hebrews is written with a hope of spurring the readers on to a deeper spiritual walk with Yeshua. They are immature in their faith, and because of that, they are struggling to understand the truth. They are not fully grasping the magnitude of the sacrifice and of his royal priesthood. They're actually not understanding, just like many believers today, the magnitude of the work of Messiah Yeshua. We have stopped, Aaliyah, by salvation. We have got to the point where so many people have said, well, you know what? I've accepted Messiah Yeshua and his sacrifice, so therefore I'm saved. But unfortunately, they remain, as you said, at that Abrahamic covenant. And they don't understand that the Abrahamic covenant is faith in Messiah Yeshua. But then when we jump forward, Aaliyah, and we go to the book of Revelation, it tells us, blessed is he, in Revelation 22:14, blessed is he or she who keeps the commandments of Yahweh, for they will have the right to the tree of life. Another translation says, blessed is the one with pure garments, for they will have the right to the tree of life. We've mentioned this over and over. So having right garments, in other words, having the right kind of garments is tied up to what? Obedience and faith. Your faith leads you to an obedient life, which is then called what? The works that you do. And many people say, oh, but Yusuf, then you're saying this is a work salvation. No, we're not. Salvation happened first. Salvation is a free gift from Messiah Yeshua. That is the Abrahamic covenant that is given to you by Messiah Yeshua. He is giving it to you freely. But now he's asking you, will you take a step of faith and will you do more? I have already been sacrificed as the red heifer. I have already gone and paid the price for you to partake of those ashes. Every time that you feel that you're not worthy, every time that you feel that you can't do it, every time that your mind comes back and your old fleshly person stands up, you have the assurance in your mind that Yeshua has forgiven you and that he has paid the price to redeem you. That there is this thing called sanctification working within you. Why? Because Yeshua paid the price. That red heifer sacrifice is what Paul spoke about when he said, we go from faith to faith and we are being transformed by our faith from glory to glory. Paul understood that our flesh was corrupt. He understood that our flesh was hindering us from understanding and becoming that express image of Messiah Yeshua. And that's why he's told us, he said over and over, Paul speaks about it. He says, you know what? One day we will have glorified bodies. One day this body of death, he spoke about it. He said, you know, I walk around on a daily basis and I feel like I'm dragging a dead body with me wherever I go. That's what he was talking about. He said, it feels like a body of death with me. And he himself, a man of great faith, a man who proclaimed the word of Messiah Yeshua, he struggled with this whole thing of flesh. He kept on saying that, you know, I have this thorn on my side. I have these things that I struggle with. But he committed his life. And he said, I run the race with endurance and I run to receive the prize. He never believed that he had already obtained that prize. He believed that if he continued running the race with endurance, he would receive it just like you and I. So tonight, what I want to say to you is this. Once you have been saved and you enter into that Abrahamic covenant and you partake of the sacrifice of Messiah Yeshua, that tabernacle structure that we've spoken about earlier, the sacrifice is on the outer side, in the outer court. Every Israelite would come, they would present their sacrifice to the priest, and the priest would take it. He would then offer it on the brazen altar, and that would be the sacrifice for your sins. But after that, you have to make a decision if you want to enter into a deeper relationship with Messiah Yeshua. And I spoke about this on the coffee break. The next entrance of that tabernacle is the place of decision. Tonight, what Yeshua is saying to you is that he has done every single thing for you and I to become a priest in the order of righteousness, to walk as a tzaddik before him. That we don't have to always go backwards and say, oh, but you know what? What about my past? What about my sins? What about that life that I lived as a drug addict? What about those things that still creep up? What about the thing that I did yesterday? If you ask for forgiveness from those things, we have to believe by faith that we have been forgiven and we have to walk as he walked. That's so important. So this whole sacrifice has to do with the fact that the animal was burnt and the blood and everything was consumed. And it speaks about the flesh, the one and only flesh that can redeem us, the body of Yeshua. Yeshua's body was broken for our sins, and it's his flesh that redeems us. It's his flesh that when we partake of him and we get into fellowship with Yeshua, that we are no longer as people that are bound by our sinful nature. We now are being redeemed. And that's what it's about. So when we enter into the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and we move into the Mosaic covenant, and we do what the Mosaic covenant tells us, we then enter into what? The inheritance covenant of Yahweh, which is all about being sons and daughters of righteousness. We're no longer children. We understand. So we are partaking of the flesh of Yeshua, and we're no longer looking like a child. We're starting to look like a family member. We're starting to look like someone that is resembling our parents. We no longer look like a child. And you know, babies, unfortunately, you know, you look at children and oftentimes babies look a lot the same. They do. There's certain characteristics in a child that you can determine. Hey, that's why so often babies get swapped out and people don't realize it, because they are looking the same. But as we grow and as we begin to mature, we start to look like our father, our mother. There's certain characteristics that show, and we begin to see our
and
brothers and sisters.
The older you get, the more you look like your parents. Yes.
That's true.
You know, I can see your dad in you these days. And you know what? That's because you've touched over 40 now. And that's the truth. The more that you mature, you begin to look like your parents. And even, you know, I know there's those scary stories of looking in the mirror and going, well, I see my mom, or I see my gran, or I see my aunt. But it is true. The more that you mature, you know, those genes come out. And it's so true what you're saying, because, I mean, that's just a little, you know, physical reality that we're faced with. But this reality of the maturing process leads you to look more like your, you know, more like your father. That's our spiritual reality. Well, that's what it should be like. It's not always the case. You know, if we stay just stuck in that Abrahamic covenant, we're always going to be a baby.
That's right.
That's why, you know, the Bible says, you know, leave those things. It's those elementary things, right? The baptisms and the laying on of hands. Come on, man. We need to sort those things out. You know, take care of it. Do it. It's done. You know, it's the same as with getting questions every year about the moon on Passover. It's like, that is elementary. You know, let's put it away. Let's just keep the feast, as it says, without the leaven of the sin. And let's get down deep into just worshiping Yeshua. You know, we've got to put those elementary things aside and become more and more looking like him. And it's so, so true. There's Sudhi said it. You know what we do? We begin to look like our parents the older we get. So hopefully, you know, our parents are pretty good looking in their older age. Hopefully we will follow suit. You know what, Yosef, it is so true what you're saying, but this is again, like I keep saying, this is just such a beautiful reality. But I think it's something that is going to take, you know, all of us a long time to kind of digest and receive, because we have not been taught the red heifer sacrifice.
Right.
You know, yes, maybe a little bit here, a little bit there, but we have not made it a big deal as big deal as we have about, you know, the lamb and that reality, the Passover lamb, which is so important. And yes, it is. But this is something that we can apply to our daily lives as well, is to be cleansed and purified and just everything that Yeshua did.
You know, Leah, I want to read a scripture to you that's found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And, you know, it's so important because the writer of the book of Hebrews is saying to them, you know, let's take a bold step of faith away from that old Levitical order, and let's walk by faith in that which Yeshua has set before us, because it is way better. And he's saying, or she's saying, or whoever it is saying to them that we have been cleansed from our sins by a better sprinkling than that was found in the tent of Moses. And now in Revelation, it says this. And I want to share this with you this evening. It is by the blood and the flesh of Messiah Yeshua that we have redemption, by his body and his blood that was broken for us. And it says in Revelation 1 and verse 5, and from Messiah Yeshua, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. That is where the key lies already. Yeshua is the first begotten of the dead. You and I, when we believe in Messiah Yeshua, we walk by faith in his promises. We have that hope that one day we too will be resurrected. And that's important. And the prince of the kings of the earth. And then it says this, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made you and I kings and priests unto Yahweh and his Father, be to him glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all people of the earth shall wail even because of him. It is by his own blood, Elia, that he has washed us of all our sins. And this is important to understand tonight. You know, so often we sit there and we say, oh, woe is me. And we all do it. I do it often. And we sit and we say, oh, woe is me. And we wallow in the things of the past. And Yeshua is saying, but you know what? My blood speaks a better way. My blood is powerful. My blood has redeemed you. You just have to take it and you have to believe it and you have to walk in it. It's not a name it, claim it gospel. It's a matter of believing that Yeshua's sacrifice, everything that he has done, has given you everything that you need, as the scriptures say, for life and godliness, that you can overcome. So he's given you his blood to redeem you, to call you back into his family. And not only that, his flesh is what helps us to no longer walk by our own flesh, but to be redeemed. You see, brothers and sisters, without Yeshua's flesh, without partaking of his body, we will never ever have the true image of Yahweh revealed in us. It is his flesh. You see, when he came and he walked upon this earth and he was redeemed and he was glorified, not only when he was glorified, but before that, Yeshua came to reveal the express image of his Father. He never did anything else except what his Father told him to do. And what that means is he came to reveal not only the image, but the very character of his Father. He came to show us what love really was. He came to show us what sacrifice really is. He came to show us what it means to serve one another. These are the things that was given to him by his Father. So when we take on the image of Messiah Yeshua, we should be portraying the same character as Yahweh. We should be living according to his character and his ways. That's why the Ten Commandments, Leah, is not just Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is the very character of a loving God to us, saying, don't kill someone else. Only love and worship me because I want you. I'm jealous, Elohim. So that's important for us to understand. And I want to say this evening as a last thought. There is no glory in corrupted flesh. So in other words, Yeshua is saying to you tonight, my blood has redeemed you. My flesh is all that you need to be able to come and stand in my presence again. That's why the whole armor of Yahweh is so much more than just this physical Roman armor. It's actually taking off the old man or old woman and putting on the garments of light, which is Messiah Yeshua. We take off the body of death. When we get baptized and we get put into the water and we come back out, it's a change of status. It's a change of the old to the new. And that's what Yeshua is saying. He's saying my death and my resurrection and my sacrifice has given you everything that you need to live a redeemed life, to become that priest of righteousness. It's all in your hands. It's a choice. That's why Yeshua says, many are called, but few are chosen. It's all in our hands. We have to say, okay, I take the key, I'm going to walk. That's why the inheritance covenant has got to do with the key of David. It is given to every single one of us as we mature and we walk with him to get to the point where the door is open for you. Yeshua says, I stand at the door and knock. You need to open it and you need to decide to come in. So this evening, I want to say to you, maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, well, you know what? I struggle with so many things as a believer. My life goes up, my life goes down. We all get there. Tonight, I want to encourage you and I want to say this to you. This sacrifice speaks definitely, like I said, a better word. It tells us the truth of who we are, but it also tells us the truth of what Yeshua has done for us. And it's up to you and I this evening to sit back and say, wow, you know, not only did he become the lamb that was slain, but he did so much more on behalf of you and I. He fulfilled the role of being the high priest so that he can stand and make intercession on your behalf on a daily basis. When the enemy comes and he brings accusation, Yeshua is there like your great advocate. I don't know if you've ever been in a court, but your advocate stands up for you and says, no, it's not like that. And they defend you. That's what it's about. He's our defender and our protector. And all he's saying to you this evening is, do you believe that I have given you everything that you need, that you can overcome, that you can become a priest of righteousness, that you can become, I don't like to use the word priest, I like to use the word tzaddik, a righteous one, one that is set aside, ready to do the work that Yeshua has done, revealing him to the world.
Yosef, I want to say thank you so much for sharing this with us tonight, because it is so super, super powerful. And you know what? We want to have a time of prayer when we get back from the song. We're going to enjoy a really, really great song called No Weapon by Pat Barrett. And you know what? I just wanted to say thank you to you as well, Yosef, for reading to us from the 1852 King James Version tonight. Because the truth is, you know, that Puritan in you, just reading that cometh unto thee.
Hallelujah.
It's just so great. You know, I always say to Yosef, why did he use the weirdest translations in his teachings? He has no idea why he uses them, but the cometh unto thee, you know, Yosef, it's very, very powerful. But you know what, next time I'm thinking the Amplified might be just as good. But you know what, if you have a prayer request tonight, I want to encourage you in modern language to please put it down and to please, you know, allow us to pray for you, because it is such a blessing. We know that the world is a bit crazy right now, and just over the last few days, we've been having conversations with people that really are struggling. And there are many ways in which different people are struggling right now. So no matter what it is, we want to pray for you. And anyway, we're going to have some closing prayer when we get back. So don't go anywhere. Enjoy some great music. And let's pray together after the song.
Darkness closes in on every side, when battles rage and when the waters rise, I fear no evil, for I know the truth. Nothing can separate my heart from you, 'cause there's no weapon stronger than your love. There's no weapon stronger than your love. No height, no depth can overcome, 'cause there's no weapon stronger than your love. You say that faith can make the mountain move, and nothing is impossible. Stronger than your love. There's no weapon.
You know what? It's going to be so great just to have a time of prayer, you know, together. And Sudhi, thank you so much for sharing about Brad Scott. And we know he has been here quite a few times in South Africa, and having got to meet him and just sitting underneath his teachings. And we truly have always felt that, you know, Brad Scott has been a pioneer, really, in the Hebrew Roots movement. And I think that there were just a lot of, you know, these great men and women, Yosef, right at the beginning. I think of Batya and Angus Wooten, who themselves are struggling so much with health issues as well. And I think of them. And I also think of Brad Scott, and I think of his wife, Carol. And I think of how they really were some of the first people who shared the truth, who came here, shared the truth, and really just ministered the word of Yahweh in this whole new way that we had never heard before. And it's quite, you know, quite deep, I think, especially for myself, having come into the Hebrew Roots 18 years ago and just being so touched and encouraged by these teachers and these powerful and wonderful, you know, people of Yahweh who just really love Yeshua. And so I think that tonight our hearts and really are with Brad and his wife. And I think that even after this coffee break, I really just want to ask if you have been touched by Brad Scott, or maybe you met him when he was here or wherever, that you'll just really pray for him and his family at this time. We will on the coffee break as well. So yeah, it's we just know that, and I truly believe, you know, there is a teaching that goes, that's been going around for a long time, that's been saying that, you know, when people get cancer or when people get illnesses, it's because they have sin in their lives. And I want to irrevocably say that you can disagree with me tonight, but I do not believe that at all, because I do believe that our bodies are decaying. And so just like we said tonight, we are moving into a place of glorification, but it doesn't mean that we will not suffer on this earth. And also, you know, some of the most righteous people that I've known personally in my life, I know have passed away to many different things. You know, we're not promised an easy road. And so I really do know that Yahweh loves all of us and he wants to be with all of us. And I think it's important for us just to have love and compassion one to another, and especially pray for each other. So, Abba Father, I just want to say thank you so much tonight, that you are such a loving God and you are such a good, good Father, and that you are with us in such a powerful way. And we are so encouraged by the nearness of your spirit and the nearness of your heart and your love for us. And Father, tonight, I just really want to lift Jody up to you, Father, with every single thing that is going on in her life, many, many different things, Father. I pray that you will give her strength during fasting time, Father. I pray that you will give her self-control, and that, Father, she'll become fully surrendered to you, Yeshua, and that everything that's in her heart and in her mind and in her life, any burden that she may be carrying, that Father, you will carry it for her, Father, as you are the burden carrying Elohim. And Father, I really pray that you will bless Jody with a nearness of your spirit. And Father, I just really, really pray that you will bless Jody with just this comfort and this love and this peace of your heart in her life. I pray that you'll work in her family, Father, that you'll work in the people surrounding her, Abba Father, that you will work, Father, in every single place where she needs you right now, Abba Father, and that you will bless Jody, that you will keep her, that Father, you will make your loving and beautiful face to shine upon her in every single way. I pray that you will guard this daughter of yours that you love so much, and that you are holding in the palm of your hand, Father, and that you truly see her as a daughter and as that child. And I really pray that you'll just hold her tighter and tighter towards you, Father, and that she will experience your love and your comfort and your joy. And we just rejoice in you for Jody's life tonight. And we say thank you for her in the mighty name of Yeshua Mashiach, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Father, we want to lift up Brad and his wife to you this evening, Father. And we, as Aaliyah said, Father, we call out, Father, and we pray over him, Father. We call out the good things, Yahweh, in his life. We call out, Father, all those things that he has done for these many years, Father, the lives that he has reached and the people, Father, that he has gone to, Father, and proclaimed your word, Father, and that you, by the power of your Spirit, Father, have used his life. And we are so grateful for that, Father. And we want to pray this evening, Father, for him during this time, Father. We know that it is not a nice time at all, Father. It's a difficult time. We want to pray for his wife too, Father, that you, by the power of your Spirit, Father, will lift up her heart, Yahweh, that you will come alongside her, Father, and that the people around her, Father, will be people with positiveness, Father, that they will be people who will be praying for them. And Father, as your people, each one of us tonight, may we lift him up, Father, on a daily basis. May we continue to pray for our brother and sister, Father. And I pray tonight, Yahweh, that you will hear the prayer prayers of your people, Father. We do not always understand your ways. We do not always understand how you do things, Father. But we want to pray for Brad this evening too, Father, that there will be no doubt in his mind, Father, that there will be no questions, Father, but that there will be perfect shalom. Shalom, Father, that comes only from you. And Father, that every question that he has, Father, that you will answer it, that you will not be a God that is far from him, Yahweh, but that you will draw near to him in this time, Father, that you will wrap your loving arms around him, Yahweh, that he'll feel you so close to him and know your heart, and that he will hear your voice, Father. And we thank you for this. Father, this evening we want to thank you for not only this coffee break, Father, but we want to thank you for every person that has joined us. Father, we thank you that your word went out, Father, and we thank you for the sacrifice of Yeshua, that his sacrifice was so much more, Father, than what we have come to understand, that there is so much depth, Father, in your word. I pray, Father, that every single one of us that is searching, Father, that we will find you. Your word says, Father, that seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh, and all these things shall be added unto you. I pray, Father, that we will seek you in the beauty of holiness, and Father, that we will not strive, Father, but that we will run with you, that we will put our hands in your hand, Father, and that you will take us to where we need to be. Father, we know that the world that we live in, Father, is upside down, and I thank you, Father, that in this generation of so much chaos, Yahweh, that you are raising up men and women of great faith. Men and women, Father, that will not be moved by the things of this world, but they will be moved by your voice and by your spirit. Mm. I pray that tonight, Father, over each and every person that has joined us on this coffee break, Father, that every single struggle that they face, Father, every single thing that they might be facing in their own lives during this time, Father, that they will commit it to you. And as they do, Father, I pray that you will strengthen them. Father, I'm reminded of your word that says, cast your burden unto Yeshua. And Father, that's my prayer this evening. May we cast our burdens to you. And may you, Father, carry us. And we thank you for that. Father, I also want to pray lastly tonight, bless and keep every single person, Father. May you make your face to shine upon them and give them true shalom. In Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's been so great to be with you all on the coffee break tonight. It's been such a blessed time. I just really am so encouraged, and I'm so grateful to our Messiah for being with us tonight. And so have a great and wonderful Shavua Tov. Have an amazing week, no matter where you are in the world. I pray that Abba Father's richest blessings will be upon you, and we will see you all next week. Shalom, shalom. Take care and see you then.
Shalom.
Only a moment truth was seen, revealed this mystery. The crown that showed no dignity he wore, and the king was placed for all the world to show disgrace. But only beauty flowed from this place. Would you take the place of this man? From his hands, would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? Hear the weight of impurity the Father would not see. Reasons have finally come to be to show the depth of his grace. Flowing with every sin erased, he knew that this was why he came. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his head? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? Yeah, we just don't know. The blood and water flow, and in it all he showed just how much he cared. And the veil was torn so we could
could have this open door and all these things have finally been complete. Would you take